Go ahead. Good evening. It's Monday, November 18th at 7 o'clock, and I'm calling to order this public hearing. Present this evening are council members Mr. Brown, Mrs. Capellini, Mr. Hanum, Mr. Lukey, Mrs. Hussman, myself. Mr. Milner is excused. Additionally, from administration, the law director, Mr. Moan, service director, Mr. Aller, economic development, Mr. Sanford, finance, Mr. Schroyer, clerk of council, Mrs. Booker, and joining us this evening as well as Mayor Stow, and present are many members from the community. This public hearing is a continuation of the May 6th hearing to discuss proposed ordinance 24-2013, amending Part 11, Section 1117.07, accessory buildings and uses of the Planning and Zoning Code of the codified ordinances. And it is also a new or a first-time public hearing on four other proposed ordinances, including proposed ordinance 72-2013, amending Part 11, Section 1119.07, proposed ordinance 73-2013, amending Part 11, Section 1121.07, proposed ordinance 78-2013, amending Part 11, Section 1125.12. All of these have been referred and had been referred to the Planning Commission on October 7th, and they supported the changes that are recommended. As chair of the Zoning Committee, I would invite Mr. Hanum to maybe share any more detail with regard to this legislation that we're considering this evening.
Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. We've been looking at this issue all year. And we've had a large number of meetings, a lot of discussion about this. And we have clearly identified an issue with recreational vehicle storage and a need to address that going forward. And we have effectively, after a lot of discussion, come up with, I think it's 11 different items that specifically we're going to allow recreation vehicle storage. One proposal was to disallow it entirely. We currently have, I forget, five or six limitations, and we came up with five additional ones that we think will address the problems to a large degree. What we come up with at the end of the day isn't perfect. There are we had a lot of neighbors who would have preferred we just ban the storage of recreational vehicles in the city. That didn't seem, as we looked at it, that didn't seem to be appropriate for the city as a whole, and it certainly would have created as many hardships and problems as what we currently have. So in the end, what we came up with, I think, is a balance between the interests of our property owners to have to live in neat and clean neighborhoods, while nevertheless accommodating the interests and the recreational needs and interests of our neighbors. The requirements that we have come up with, and I'll just summarize them and try and be brief, but we expect recreational vehicles to be clean and in good repair and carry a current license plate and registration where required by law. One of the issues we talked about was whether we should expand the description of good repair to clarify that permanently unusable equipment does not qualify. I think at the end of the day, we didn't do that because we thought that was subsumed within that first item, that equipment has to be kept in clean and good repair. If it's permanently unusable, it doesn't meet that criteria. The second item is that only recreational vehicles that are titled to someone who lives at the property can be stored there. So we won't have third parties storing recreational vehicles and on properties, residential properties. We limited the number of recreational vehicles to one and specified that they had to be in the rear or side yard, that there would be no front yard storage permitted. We do have an exception for 3 days to load and unload a recreational vehicle, so that if, you know, someone drives an RV to their home for on Thursday, they can load it up and take it out within 72 hours. We included a requirement that the recreational vehicles be 5 feet from any lot line, and that the front foremost point of the recreational vehicle has to be a minimum of 5 feet to the rear or the front of any dwelling. So the idea is we're going to keep, if it's on a side yard, it needs to be back a bit, or in a backyard. At one time we had a limit in the code that limited recreational vehicle storage to those which were 19 feet or in length or less. Part of what got this all started is we removed that requirement. But obviously larger recreational vehicles create additional issues. The way we ended up addressing that was, if you have a recreational vehicle in excess of 20 feet in length, we're going to require an additional foot of setback from every lot line for each additional 5 feet or any portion thereof of a vehicle. So the example that's in the legislation is a recreational vehicle that is 33 feet in length have to be at least 8 feet from the property line. The next requirement is that, and this exists already, a recreational vehicle can't be hooked up to electricity, water, gas, or any utilities, and it can't be used for living or housekeeping purposes. Recreational vehicles have to be stored on a properly maintained hard surface, and we specifically referenced crushed stone, concrete, or asphalt. Recreational vehicles can't be covered with any type of tarp material other than a cover specifically manufactured for the vehicle. For example, boats that have designed tarps with snaps, those are acceptable. But one of our famous pictures was a large sailboat that had a blue tarp just tied down over it. That would not meet that criteria. This next requirement is an important one. It requires that no recreational equipment shall be openly visible from an adjoining lot, meaning landscape screening and fencing of an appropriate type could be used. One of the issues that the Planning Commission specifically commented on was possibly interacts with this next point, and that is that recreational vehicles on corner lots have to be at least 60 feet from both the front lot line and the side yard lot line nearest the street. So it really has to be pretty much in a backyard or on a side yard away from the corner. There was some thought that we should exclude recreational vehicles entirely from these sorts of cornered lots. I think we got over that on the basis that the screening requirements still apply, so they still have to be screened from the street or an adjoining lot. And of course, none of this impacts anyone's ability to store a recreational vehicle in a garage that's constructed for that purpose as well. But in the end, I think it's a balance of interests, and I think it's one that will work and is clear enough that people will understand what they can and can't do going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Hanum. I think that was a very good overview of the changes that are within the ordinances presented this evening. Since this is a public hearing, our primary focus tonight is to hear comment from the public. So I will invite those that are in favor of the ordinance to speak first, followed then by those who are opposed to speak on behalf of their position. And I would ask that anyone who speaks this evening step up to the microphone at the podium and give us their name and address prior to beginning their remarks. So with that, I would invite anyone who would like to speak in favor of these ordinances to please step forward. Seeing no one, is anyone here that would like to speak opposed to any of these ordinances? Seeing no interest in public comment, I would ask if any council members have anything that they would like to add at this time.
Yes, Madam President, I would. I would just like to make sure that we, instead of using the phrase recreational vehicle, because that's confused with what we all now call RVs, that we make sure that we understand that it's, we're referring to all recreational equipment. That means not just what we commonly call RVs right now, but boats, tent trailers, motorhomes, pickup campers, trailers. So all of that is under these ordinances and known as recreational equipment according to the definition in our code.
Thank you.
And the legislation is drafted that way.
Yes. Any other discussion?
Yeah, again, kind of along the same lines, a point of clarification for the record, if nothing else, and that is the fact that the city of Sylvania fundamentally maintains a complaint-driven policy here. So I think it's not the intention, at least based on the conversations I've heard in council, to create a set of regulations that we are going to go out and try to find people violating, right? Fundamentally, this is a good neighbor policy. We assume that owners of recreational vehicles will be good neighbors, that they'll comply just in a sense of decorum to keep their vehicles stored appropriately. What this really does is sort of create a last resort if a neighbor is having specific problems with storage on an adjacent lot. I think that's how it came to us in the first place. And hopefully this will give some relief now for enforcement for those few people in town who just don't seem to understand the program. And so rather than creating something that's going to be enforced on a proactive basis, this is more of a complaint-driven thing. I think it's important for the public to appreciate.
I think that's an excellent point. Thank you, Mr. Rutke. Any other comments?
I do believe once, if we do pass this legislation, that if there is a complaint, that we enforce the letter of the law here and do not try to interpret it. You know, we've had enough trouble drafting this legislation and committee meetings and everything else that we need to make sure that whoever goes out and you know, and looks at the complaint enforces, you know, what we have here so that we don't run into, well, that person down the street's getting away with it, why can't I? Because then the legislation would be useless. So I'd just like to make that point.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. So we have before us five pieces of legislation that are ready for consideration of this evening's meeting. What is the pleasure of council?
Madam President, I would move that we adopt all five ordinances at this evening's council meeting.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Is there a second? Okay. It has been moved and seconded that we make a recommendation at tonight's council meeting that we adopt all of these pieces of legislation. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. And with that, this evening's public hearing is officially adjourned at 7:15. I thank you all for joining us.